driver's seat.
Good start from Stephen Johnson, a really good one. Johnson leads the race.
Daniel Ricciardo gives Renault their first podium.
Cam Waters is our 2020 pole sitter at Bathurst.
The driver's seat.
Oh, in defence, that's massive. That's massive.
The driver's seat with Matt McKeldin and Stephen Johnson for Kubota. For over 40 years, we've been making tomorrow matter, shaping and building Australia together.
Excellent job.
Oh yes, welcome to another edition of the driver's seat. We are back in action. There was a thing that was happening for the past couple of weeks, guys. Did you pay attention to it? It didn't have any motor racing, but
well, it was
a lot
lockdown.
Of people were watching.
Was lockdown, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was lockdown.
It's what I believe we call it, lockdown.
Victorians call a normal day. But anyway.
Hey, just quietly, what a perfect time for lockdown while the Olympics are on.
I know, right?
Seriously.
How good was that? And Australia did, I mean, let's be honest. Geez, for our weight, for the size of our population, didn't we just smash it? Oh. We absolutely smashed
Imagine
it.
Imagine if you or I could throw our weight behind the Olympics. They'd double their medal tally again.
Mate, if you and I could throw some weight behind the Olympics, there'd be some world records set, let me tell you. Whatever we threw, there'd be a world record.
So I'll tell you what, boys. Now, this is what would normally happen because we do our feature interview thanks to Ryko Filters. Ask Mechanic for Ryko Filters, the professional choice. And, you know, I always like to give a nice, big, booming intro to our guest because this guest, if anyone deserves a really, really good intro, it is our guest for the show this evening. But unfortunately, I can't do that because Channel 7 own all the rights to the Olympics footage and we could get into a lot of trouble by playing it. So without further ado, please welcome our guest to the driver's seat. You might have seen him absolutely dominate in the BMX freestyle in Tokyo 2020. Welcome to the driver's seat, the one and only Logan Martin.
Hello.
Hey Logan, so we understand you are still in quarantine up in Darwin, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm just over halfway through. So,
how are you coping with that?
Yeah, I mean not too bad. I mean the days are super long, but when you sort of look back, like it's already been over a week. It's gone fairly quick, I suppose. So just getting through it day by day.
I mean, it's got to be. It's Matt McKeldin, mate, and congratulations on your efforts on behalf of all of Australia. You did an incredible job, but it's got to be half a weird feeling to go from the highs of and all the media and the highs of reaching the pinnacle of your sport and doing all that kind of stuff, and then one bedroom, one toilet room for the next 2 weeks, pal.
Yeah.
That's what you get. What a come down.
Honestly, I know. Honestly, it is pretty crazy. Yeah, obviously coming off such a high and then just literally sitting in a room by myself for 2 weeks. So it's definitely, definitely very unfortunate. Definitely a strange sort of concept. It felt real coming in here, you know, that I had won an Olympic gold medal. And then after a week, it's sort of like, just doesn't, you know, it just, it almost feels like it hasn't sunk in again, I suppose. But then when I get out of here, I'm sure it will. But yeah, it's just, it's very, very unfortunate that we have to come back to quarantine.
And even worse, on the way home on Japan Airlines, you weren't even allowed to have a beer because who was it? Was the footy team or the rowing team killed that for you with their barrage of alcohol beverages on the way home?
Yeah, well, I think I was actually on the flight before them, maybe. But I mean, I didn't hear too much about it. But I mean, obviously I heard something went on. I wasn't on the flight, so I'm all good.
I want to ask you a question. You know, we've talked about, obviously this is a motorsport show, but and to sort of give some context to this discussion, you know, you've got a really good connection with Stevie J. That's why we're privileged to have you on the show today.
Well, he does, and he lives near me.
Well, yeah, he lives near you, but there's a connection there. One thing we've noticed with our sport over the last 12 to 18 months is the incredible difference a crowd makes. You know, when we see some of the sport that's going on in America with the IndyCars now and some of the Formula One stuff, it just adds that real missing piece to the puzzle. How did you find that in Japan? Like, an amazing result, obviously, for you, but did it feel weird not having thousands and thousands of people going absolutely bunter in the grandstands at your efforts?
I mean, it definitely creates for a better vibe, more atmosphere when there's a pumping crowd. I was over in France in at the start of June, where we also didn't have a crowd, and I won an event there. So it's not necessarily the crowd that makes me perform. I'm so focused in, and the crowd is just outside noise. So going into Tokyo, I was aware there was not going to be a crowd, but I also knew that I've performed in front of no crowds before as well. It does definitely make for a better atmosphere, but it wasn't. It's not really my focus when I'm actually zoned in.
Hey, mate, so obviously they alluded to it a little bit on the telecast. And we want to ask you, obviously, the preparation for the games, it was obviously a year longer than expected that you were going to be there. But, you spent, let's say, a fair bit of money, between $75,000 and $80,000, we're hearing, on your own skate park in your backyard. How much, and I also know, because luckily I know your coach, that you had another training facility indoors so that if it was raining, you could go there as well. So how much did that, just having those things at your disposal whenever you wanted, was that the end result of what you've got now, or is basically everybody in that competition got a very similar sort of setup that you were able to access?
So I purely built my skate park in the backyard, because there was no training facilities in the area. There was an indoor skate park a few years ago that had closed down. So I was, I was just riding local skate parks. And as we were closing into the Olympics, the progression of freestyle BMX was increasing significantly. So I knew if I wanted to keep up with that level, and make it to the Olympics, I had to, train at a proper skate park, train at a proper facility, whether that was move overseas or build one, essentially. So I did that in the middle of 2019. I built the skate park, which initially was about $70,000. And then in the middle of last year, so pretty much a year later after I built it, we added some more ramps, which was an extra $15,000. So I've spent about $85,000, maybe $90,000 with a bit of maintenance here and there, on that skate park. And then, yeah, also towards the end of last year, we got an indoor skate park built for us, which was only 15 minutes from me. So if the weather was bad, then, we could go indoors and still train, which worked out amazing. We also had a foam pit, so I could, practice and learn some new tricks in there as well. And then about 2 months before the Olympics, we actually got a replica skate park built on the Gold Coast, so I could practice in the lead up to Tokyo. So exactly the same
as what you had there. Exactly the same as what was in Tokyo.
Yeah, exactly. With like small differences. We got to build the skate park only based off looking at some pictures. So as close as we could get it, we got it, and turned out pretty bang on, pretty similar.
Hey, Logan, I wanted to sort of delve in a little bit behind the eyeballs, so to speak. Again, when we talk about motor racing, we get a lot of feedback on our show. We get a lot of feedback through direct messages on our socials, all that kind of stuff, about who people have found motivating over the years from their motorsport mentors and people who they've looked up to. Not often we get people saying Stevie J, let's be honest, but from your perspective as a sports person, and perhaps in a sport that doesn't have a wide viewership, who were the sorts of people that you looked up to? Were they people in your sport, or were there people outside of your sport that you looked to for motivation as you've been coming through the ranks?
When I was younger, when I was sort of growing up through my teen years, I just looked up to some guys within my sport, and a main guy that I looked up to was Kyle Baldock, and he was a couple of years older than me, also living on the Gold Coast. But did quite well on the BMX scene as well. Went overseas and was doing quite well at X Games and all the big events. So I actually became good mates with him and sort of had him as a mentor, as I was coming through the ranks, and had him to learn off. And sort of just looked up to the people within the sport. And then when I got to, a decent level and I was doing well at events, then I was just focusing on just doing my best and becoming my best on the bike and off the bike as well, but just putting in work all around throughout my life, just where I think I could progress, So yeah, when I was growing up, it was just guys within the sport for sure.
So when you get to the point where you're doing all of the tricks that the guys that you looked up to in your sport with ease, how do you then go, right, I'm going to take it to the next level and try, you know, a double flare like you've put up on your social media, that sort of stuff? How do you end up going, right, oh, I'm going to push it a bit further and try to start executing something like that?
So over time, I guess you just, for me personally, I just learnt to understand my own ability, what I was actually capable of, when I could actually start pushing some boundaries and you know, combining new tricks together. Because essentially that's all you're doing when you're learning a new trick, you're just adding a new combination together. You know, there's sort of already, all the tricks have already been established, I suppose, and now it's just adding different combinations together, spin, like an extra rotation or an extra tail whip or, you know, something like that. So it's an extra combination. You just understand your own ability. And yeah, obviously it comes with risk, but, you know, someone that's just starting out is not going to try, you know, my hardest trick on their first day. Essentially, you do adapt over time and you start to understand, you know, where you can push the boundaries.
And what do you say to some of these wowsers out there that reckon that, you know, sports like yours and skateboarding shouldn't be part of the Olympics? Is that a question that you've had to address in the last couple of years during your training, or is that something you pretty well ignore?
I mean, I didn't really hear too much of it, like throughout the journey to the Olympics. I've definitely seen some comments, like post-Olympics, saying that BMX isn't a sport or it shouldn't be there. And I mean, you know, they have no, I guess, valid reason why. They just don't understand what it is, I suppose. But I mean, it's you know, it's just people sitting behind a keyboard. It's not anything I take notice of. There's hate in e-sport. There's hate everywhere in every aspect of life, and then just, you know, you just sort of shrug it off and keep doing what you do, I suppose. That's what I do anyway.
Well, don't we know it?
Yeah,
we get it all.
A lot of that hate stems from jealousy to start with, you know, I think, personally.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And so where to from here? Where to from now? What are we, what's the plan from here once you get out of lockdown in Darwin? Back to Queensland, celebrate with the family, and then what's the next step for you?
Yeah, so back home after this, I'll probably you know, take a little holiday just with my family somewhere in Australia, whether it be, you know, close to home or a small flight or something. So I'll just chill out with my family for a few days, and then pretty much just back to it. I enjoy, you know, I enjoy riding my bike. I enjoy working towards events, and then yeah, I mean, you know, next year there should be some more events. If there's still hotel quarantine, I'll probably move overseas because yeah. I can't do too much more hotel quarantine. So if Australia doesn't, you know, change things up, then I'll have to look at some other options. But yeah, definitely looking to travel more and ride more events, get back to X Games and the World Series and World Championships next year. And then, yeah, work towards Paris. I do want to get to Paris. I've still got a good few years left in me, I think. So, yeah, that'll be the main goal, is getting to Paris Olympics.
Hey, mate, just quickly before we go, Matty, you wouldn't be on top of all this. When Logan was building his ramps and his little mini skate park in his backyard,
yeah,
the neighbourhood, well, some of the neighbours weren't that complimentary of it. And I sort of got a bit of a lowdown on what was going on because of Wade, who is the Australian coach for BMX and freestyle BMX. And so that there was Facebook pages, there was people going to council, there was a whole lot trying to shut him down. Now that you've got the gold medal, mate, are those people going to be invited over for the big bash when you're home with all the other neighbours?
I mean, yeah, they definitely didn't enjoy it at the start. I think they just sort of jumped to conclusions. It was going to be like a big party house and, you know, there was going to be hundreds of people over every day and just, you know, making heaps of noise and stuff. So they weren't into it at the start. They did complain a lot. They sort of mellowed out over the, you know, next few months. And yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. There's no hard feelings there. I get it. They didn't want to see it, but I did it for my own benefit. And I mean, I bought the property, so I didn't see why it was an issue. But
yeah,
yeah. I mean, If they want to come around and congratulate me, they can do that. I mean,
and I'm look. And yeah. When you get home, I am looking forward to the for the double flare with a pool finish, because I have. You don't realise Logan's pool's right next to his skate ramps, and I might have been driving past one day, and I definitely saw some sort of a pretty crazy trick landing straight into his pool. So I want to see some more of them. Thanks, mate. They were cool.
Yeah, I haven't jumped from the skate park into the pool, but my mate definitely has.
If you get Stevie J over there and you feed him half a dozen sausages and 15 Jim Beams, no, he'll give it a crack.
Yeah, 15 Jim Beams.
Just make sure your bike's got a sturdy frame.
You won't have much water in that pool afterwards.
Be like Shamu the whale re-entering. Oh, geez. First drive-by for the evening, folks. McKeldin gets one through.
Anyway, no, honestly, seriously, well done. Thanks so much for taking time out to come on the show. And we're just pumped to see you over there. First time, you know, Australian winning the freestyle BMX at the Olympics. I think can't be anything cooler than that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thanks heaps for having me on. And yeah, I'm definitely stoked I could go and represent Australia at the Olympics and bring home a gold medal. So no, I appreciate it all.
Three more years, you can back it up again in Paris, mate. But thanks for joining us on the driver's seat. Okay.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Logan Martin there joining us on the driver's seat. How good was that, boys?
So cool. So cool, mate.
Yeah,
something different for the show too, you know, not motorsport related, I guess, but it's just, it's an elite athlete in a sport and we love seeing that. So I think that, I'm very proud of what all the Australians have done over at the Tokyo Olympics this year. And you know, I can't wait to see what happens in, it's only 3 years now. So I might be under 50 by then. I don't know.
There's no way you're under 50 in three years, mate.
100%.
Oh, righto. No, I think, and I use this term very, very loosely, as athletes in a sport, I think we should all, we all stand in awe of other athletes when they achieve the way they have and what they've done. And to be in such difficult circumstances and in training, and then he came through and won, and we love that.
Logan Martin was our feature interview. Thanks to Ryko Filters. Ask your mechanic for Ryko Filters, the professional choice. I really wish I could have played some highlights because they were really, really cool. But, hey, look, we don't really have that big of a checkbook here at the driver's seat.
No, I know. It's just...
Not Channel 7 sized anyway.
Yeah, no, not Channel 7 sized. It is disappointing, isn't it? But I get it.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. But hey, look, we've got a big, big show. We'd love if you would be a part of it. Text in 0433981116 is our number. Back with more straight after this.
This is The Driver's Seat with Matt McKeldin and Stephen Johnson. Thanks to Kubota. Together, we are shaping and building Australia.
Welcome back to The Driver's Seat. We do it thanks to Kubota. Together, we are shaping and building Australia. I don't like to put too much hype on our guests, but I will, because this is an interview that is 3 weeks in the making.
And he is hyped, I'm hearing.
He is hyped. He's someone that I've been chasing down I feel like a bloke that has just left a nightclub at 4 a.m. and is chasing down a Hungry Jack's burger right now. That's how keen I am to chat to our next...
I have no idea what that feels like.
I'll bet you will.
No, but an angry Whopper Nimsy?
I always went at 3 a.m. Souvlaki when, you know, you roll out of Shooters in Melbourne or...
Shouldn't we be saying Big Macs? McDonald's?
I don't know. Well, actually, you probably should. Great supporters of SEO McDonald's.
Yes, McDonald's there. Brand new chicken range is fantastic. But look, let's get to our next guest, because we got to give him his proper intro first.
Bring the action.
Good opportunity off the front row, and he is going to convert it. He's one corner away. It's been a long time coming. It's in Will Brown is a winner in Dunlop Super 2. Nicely done.
Bring the action.
And here is your champion, Will Brown, for season 2019. And now he can officially celebrate the awarding of the champion trophy to Will Brown from HMO Customer Racing.
That's right. He is the one and only from Erebus Motorsport. He's currently got the best Petters livery you'll see on the side of a race car. Please welcome back to the driver's seat, Will Brown.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure, not a chore.
I was just listening to that intro and listening to the, obviously, when you became the TCR champion, William. And I was just thinking, and I wrote it down here, does it feel average when you win in TCR? You can't just dump the clutch, do a big smoky rear wheel burnout.
Yeah, I actually, I don't think anyone saw it, but I grabbed the handbrake at the end of Taylor and Ben Strait after I won the championship and put it in the gravel. I've actually never told anyone. No one ever knew about it. It was a good drift, though, until I hit the gravel.
That's so good.
And mate, I've got to say, you're having a pretty good 2021, as much racing as we've done, because of all the junior burgers in the category, all the rookies for this year, you are the leading junior burger.
Thanks for that. Steve, you're the leading senior burger.
Mate, I am the biggest of the Big Macs, mate, let me tell you.
No, thanks, guys. It's been a good start to the year. It's been really good, so loving it so far.
Mate, what's impressed me the most, to be honest, and I obviously I came past and saw you at Townsville there after the second weekend, was if you'd had a bad day the day before, for whatever reason, you guys were able to regroup and really nail it the next day. So if you had a bad Saturday, you could come back on Sunday and have a cracking one, or vice versa. So it's obviously good improving going that way. It's not good having a good Saturday and not good Sunday. But, I mean, that must be – because that's hard to do. That's hard to just turn around the form overnight and come out with a better car, with a better attitude, with a better race strategy and, you know, finish in the top four or five. I mean, that's got to be pretty pleasing.
Yeah, I'm always generally just one of those people. I don't let yesterday ruin today. I guess that's something I live by. And I guess, on the racetrack, you've got to do that. But the team's done a great job this year, my engineer, to turn the car around. So, as all you guys know in motorsport, your luck can change pretty quickly. And you can be, right back up there. And especially being rookies, you might have made a mistake on the Saturday in qualifying, just a little mistake, which puts you a bit further back. So it's been awesome for us to actually be able to, turn around, like you say, some of those average results and come out the next day and really be up there.
And one of the things I like about you, Will, going into next season, whenever that starts and wherever that starts, we're not entirely sure yet. Got to finish this season first. I look at your career over the last couple of years. You've gone from in 2016 Formula 4 champion. You've come up through the ranks through Toyota 86 as well. You're in the TCR in 2019, 2020. You're in the Dunlop Series. You're one of the guys, one of the few guys, particularly at the front there, that has driven a large array of cars. And now we're going into Gen 3. To me, you're the guy in the box seat here because you've had to adapt to so many vehicles over the last 4 to 5 years. And adapting to a new supercar, your ability and your practice at doing that, I reckon, holds you in really good stead.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. As you say, I've always driven anything I can get in. And I think later this year, I was hoping to do a bit more racing outside of supercars. But definitely, the more cars you drive, you're always maximising your car. And I think that when Gen 3 does come along, you'll see people like, Shane Van Gisbergen, and he does an awesome job of driving anything he jumps in and shows that he can be up the front in no matter what car it is. So I think for people like us and that jump in a lot of different cars, it will probably benefit us, especially if Gen 3 comes out mid-year.
Yeah, and what about, obviously, with that and Erebus, you actually made your debut driving for the team back in 2019, and you're Anton's co-driver there before teaming up with Davey Reynolds. So for the 2020 Bathurst, how much has Betty and Barry had in your development and obviously pushed your development forward to get you into a supercar, at such a, you say an early age, but you've driven so many things up until this point. It's actually nuts.
Yeah, I was quite lucky with Erebus Motorsport and going down that path. I obviously got their co-drive with them in 2018, and it was the team I decided to drive for at that time, and it was obviously a great decision. They've really believed in me, I guess, Barry and Betty, and signing a main game deal a year before you drive in main game. Like I signed this deal in the end of 2019, and now we're in 2021 and I'm driving. Yep. So they put a lot of faith in me to know that my ability was there and that they'd put me in Super 2 for 1 year and then transition me up to main game.
And what has Toowoomba's number one car salesman been doing while we haven't been doing any racing? Like we know that we spoke to Cam Waters just a couple of weeks ago and he was heading up to Darwin to do some sprint car racing. What have you been doing to keep sharp? We've seen you on your socials, you're up in the plane, but have you had anything in four wheels? Have you had a stab in anything to keep sharp?
No, not currently. I've, had a few Toyota Yaris's out of the yard running around, getting fuel in them and that, so that might count. But
Did you trade in the smart car?
Car salesman, that's about it, really, so far. So, not really too much I can do right now. I really enjoy watching footage. I think that's the best, you know. Some people like the simulator, some people like other things, but I watch a lot of footage. So, I keep up to date watching some footage and keeping fit, doing everything like that. That's about all you can do right now, really, in lockdown.
What's your opinion? When do you think we'll start?
I have no idea, to be honest. I'll just drive when they tell me to drive, and that's about my attitude towards it. But for me and Brody and people like that, I don't think it's as stressful for us because, you know, we're used to this in Super 2. You used to have 2-3 month waits sometimes between race meets, which is what you've seen, you know, the Super 2 guys have this year. So I don't think it's going to affect us as much. We're used to being out of the car and having breaks. So, when we jump back in, I'm sure we'll be right up there.
Hey, you were mentioning the simulator before, and we know the E-Series is coming back. Are you back in simulator training? Because we know just how much of a quality driver you were on the sim.
Not that quality. You took me out every time, Steve. Big quality with you around me.
Yeah, only because if I let you go half a lap, I wouldn't be able to catch you. So I figure I'd take you out early.
Hey, well,
at least you can restart.
We've had a text message come in from one of our great friends of the show, a guy called Dale Britton, who said he wants to know whether you remember his Mustang GT that was blue, that had black seats with little blue stripes in it with the number plate One Lit GT, and you said to him that it was the best Mustang you'd ever seen.
Right. I wonder where I saw it.
It would have been in Melbourne somewhere. So you don't remember it. Sorry, Dale. No, he doesn't remember, mate. I remember it because I drove it to Winton and it was sideways most of the way up the freeway to Winton when I drove it.
With you driving?
Yeah, 700 horsepower or something. It's a monster.
Oh, right.
Yeah, there you go. So we're looking forward to the
Did
year.
Did you have the Space Savers on the back?
The Space Savers?
Yeah.
A couple of McDonald's trays underneath there. That's what I was trying to do on the way up. We would never have done anything like that.
Never.
Let's talk for the rest of the season. Obviously, we want to get it kicked off as soon as possible. We've now got lockdowns in Victoria and we were due to kick off at Winton and Phillip Island and all of that sort of stuff. I mean, where do you think? It's not where we're going to start, but do you think we're going to make Bathurst at the end of the year? Because that's even looking potentially a bit shaky at the moment. But how are you seeing from an internal discussions point of view how all this is going to play out?
Yeah, for me, I'd be willing to quarantine to run Bathurst. Like, it's the one for the year that, you know, it has to be run, I think. I think that, we can't really not run that one from a driver, you know, team, supercars point of view. It has to go ahead. But, we'd love crowds there. Obviously, last year racing without crowds was disappointing compared to the usual years when you do the driver parade and the lap round the track before the race and everything. As you guys know, that's just amazing. So it was pretty disappointing, all that side of it. But the race was still, you know, there. But I'm not sure about Bathurst. It's, you guys know about as much as me with what's going on in Sydney. Who knows when that'll clear up. And I think that my personal opinion is when Queensland and Victoria, which hopefully is soon, open up to each other, I'd be getting the race meets on the go straight away so we don't leave it till too late in the year.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, mate. And like, you're sitting 10th in the championship at the moment, but we often talk to a lot of the drivers in the championship, but I don't think we often talk about what your thoughts are as you look through the windscreen at the guys at the front there. I mean, SVG's had a pretty ripping year. Who do you reckon is going to take it out this year? If not yourself, obviously, you're going to have a ripping second half of the year to come from 10th to first. But who are you seeing as the real challenges at the front of the field there? Obviously, SVG, but anyone else can challenge you?
Yeah, I'm optimistic, not that optimistic that I can win it this year.
He's realistic.
Yeah, I'm realistic. I'd be pretty ecstatic if we finish inside the top 10. I think we can do it. We've had a DNF and a very average car at Bathurst after a crash, that there was a lot of damage to that. But, I think Shane's just on top of his game. You see it with people like Scotty. Once they get the rhythm going and, like in TCR, I used to roll up every weekend and know I was going to be first, second or third. Unless something went wrong. And I think that's Shane right now. He's just got a lot of confidence. But, you know, every weekend I roll up, you know that the Red Bull cars are going to be quick, the Penske cars, and then you've got generally Waters and Chaz that are always, you know, the top the top six. So anytime you get in the top six and start really beating those guys, you're doing a good job. So it seems like you can, you know, to get in that top 10 sometimes is, you know, you can do it. But then to really push into that top five makes it all that more difficult with those top teams and, you know, those few that are really pushing in the championship.
And what do you think Erebus has to do to get to that top five? Like, what is Erebus going to have to do to compete, both from you as a driving point of view, but as a team point of view, to get up with the Red Bulls and the DJRs and the Tickfords and that sort of stuff? Where do you think you need to be? How are you going to get there?
They might need to hire SVG.
I don't think so.
I think first year, like, obviously, you know, I don't think that I'm maximising the car every single round in and out, and that's part of learning. I think we've done a great job this year, and I think there's parts that from a consistency point of view that the team can do better and that I can do better, and I think you'll see that as the year progresses on. You know, you can already see we're getting multiple top tens now, not just one a weekend or anything like that. We're getting a lot more consistent, and I think we'll show that next year as well. So, yeah, it's just about consistency and just building on it. I'm doing a lot more driving. Like, when you come out of five rounds of Super 2 a year and come into 12 of this, we're just getting better and better and more consistent.
Hey, just FYI, mate, Penske's not here anymore. It's DJR now.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Just thought I'd throw that in.
Are you missing TCR, mate? Are you missing, do you miss the front wheel drive world, or are you just
and
focused on?
You never really got a chance to have the number one on the door too.
Yeah,
I know. That was a little bit disappointing. But yeah, I love TCR. I think, you know, just for going back to just, I wouldn't say casual racing, but it was more of, you know, go back, dad cleans the car, you do all that sort of stuff. It's a bit more casual. So that was fantastic in 2019. And I'm hoping to have a run. You know, I'd love to have a run later in the year. But we'll wait and see what happens there. But TCR was definitely good for me in 2019 and to do more racing than just supercars. So I really enjoyed that.
Hey, just on that, you're contracted to Erebus. You've obviously won the TCR championship, and you just alluded there that you might be able to come back for a bit of a cameo. Is that the good thing about Erebus, that they'll allow you to go and race some other things like that, whereas, you know, honestly, in other teams, you probably wouldn't be allowed to do that?
Yeah, Barry might look big, bad and angry, but sometimes you can get to find a soft side and let get you going for a drive in something else. But they have been good, you know. I've asked them throughout the years, and, you know, I guess I could race other things, but even this year, a few things have been cancelled due to COVID, but they don't mind us racing other things as long as it's not doesn't conflict or have any problems with our racing. So they're pretty casual there, and it definitely helps, I think.
One last one before we let you go, Will. I'm a very optimistic man, so I'm going to assume that we will get down to Bathurst and it should be a lot of fun. But the Erebus Garage is going to be absolutely rocking. I mean, you got you and Jack Perkins. Bush is teaming up with David Russell, and then you've got Greg Murphy and Richie Stanaway all in that garage. You must be pretty pumped for the return of Murph to your team.
Yeah, it'll be pretty cool, obviously, to have Murph there. It'll be awesome. But, yeah, I haven't done much racing with him, but being commentary there, it's always fantastic to have him around. So I think he'll bring a bit to the team, and we'll definitely have a lot of fun along the way. And our cars are always great at Bathurst. So, you know, I'm looking forward after my crash at the start of the year. We were running awesome before that and still ran, you know, 12th on Saturday and Sunday, I think it was. So I think I just want to get in that shootout and have a good round.
Well, we're definitely looking forward to it. Will, we really appreciate you finally getting on the show. It's been a long time coming. And just for anyone in the Darling Downs region, if you are looking for a brand new car or a used car, in fact, make sure you head down to Cars Galore. It is the place to find used cars into them. We get in touch with some of their friendly staff, including young William. And you can see if he can hook you up. But good on you, Will. We'll chat to you soon.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me.
Young Will Brown joining us here. I reckon he's one of our top five guests here. Definitely.
Oh, he's a superstar.
Always around there.
Yeah. Will was a superstar. And I love how he's going. I love where he's going. I love his attitude. You know, he's very serious, but he doesn't come off like he's taking it too seriously. I think he takes the hits in the bad days as hard as anyone. But, you know, he's always light. He's airy. He's a good interview.
He reminds me of Lounsey a little bit. Like,
yep.
Always smiling,
yep.
You know, I mean, yeah, I've seen him cranky, but generally if the camera's nearby or there's fans nearby,
yep.
you won't see him angry, sort of like Craig was back in the day. I guess he was his whole career in the end of the day. But and I've noticed that even since karting. I've known him, watched him through karting up at Toowoomba when my young fella Jet was literally just starting. And Will was sort of one of the gurus back then in the junior categories. And he was just like that. He was full of energy, full of life, bouncing around the pits everywhere like he's just had a red cordial.
If he can drive like he does and have his attitude, partners and sponsors will love him and he'll have results. That will just equal a really long career. If he can continue to build a team around him as well, as he matures into that team and into his drive and into his career, if he can link all three of those together, he will have a very, very long supercars career, Nimsy.
100%. And look, the way that he carries himself too, like you said, Matty, he's just an absolute... Any team with that bloke in the shed, you could see why Erebus locked him in a year early.
Absolutely.
And there would have been discussions up and down pit lane about how do we get Will Brown in the future. Where is there an opening within our program and our driver roster where we can get Will Brown? There's no doubt, because if you look at his junior career, you know, Formula 4 champion, Toyota 86 champion, TCR champion, everything he's driven, and then Dunlop champion, everything, or runner-up, everything he drives, he's fast at, and he's up the front. So there would have been teams up and down pit lane, and I dare say still are, Stevie J. I reckon his name will be bandied around all of the top teams to get him at some stage. Like if Will Davison retires at some stage in the next 2 to 3 years, I mean, a Will and Anton show there, Will Brown and Anton show at DJR would be pretty special.
Yeah, and, you know, like... I think initially at the start, you look at him and go, oh, is he serious enough? But they know now, he's done enough racing now to know that he can do the job in the car. Outside of the car, anyone can be polished up. So, you know, and especially big teams like 888 or DJR or Tickford or whoever, you know, they can mould somebody into really who they want them to be, especially off track.
Well, we've got a big, big show, a lot to catch up on. We've got some of your texts that we need to get through as well. 0433 98 1116 is the number. You're listening to The Driver's Seat. We do it thanks to Kubota. Together, we are shaping and building Australia. Back with more right after this.
This is The Driver's Seat with Matt McKeldin and Stephen Johnson. Thanks to Kubota. Together, we are shaping and building Australia.
Welcome back to The Driver's Seat. We do it thanks to Kubota. Together, we are shaping and building Australia. Right now, it is time for this. Actually, wait a minute. Let's get to some text first, because... No, we got to get to our fabulous audience, because we haven't had a word with them for a while.
I know.
Gotta say, overwhelmed with the response we had from our regular listeners, not listeners, not only from here, but actually got a couple of messages from over the ditch as well.
Yes,
which was really nice to see. But yeah, look, it's we had the Olympics, of course, and then obviously we had a slight technical malfunction last week where the internet and everything decided to die in the studio. So we thank everyone for sticking with us and coming back as I go to the screen. Welcome back, boys. Really missed you last week, though. Didn't even get the fresh podcast. And that is from our great mate, Tommy in Toowoomba. Thanks, Tommy, mate. I know it was very difficult last week. We were all a little bit embarrassed and a little bit frustrated last week. So sorry about that, mate. Hey, fellas, Little Mac in Toowoomba. G'day, Little Mac. It's been a little while. So with the Rona looking pretty ordinary in New South Wales at the moment, it's not unreasonable for Bathurst to still be off, even if it's redone in November or even if it's been delayed till November. What other venues could supercars race 1,000 kilometres here or in New Zealand? Should it be skipped altogether or should it be postponed again? Oh, Stevie J, can we imagine a year without the Bathurst 1,000?
Yeah, not really. No, you can't. I mean,
hard to imagine, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, maybe we should try and do 1,000 Ks around the short track at Winton. There we go. There.
Boy, oh boy. You'd get dizzy there.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, could you? I mean,
for
seriously.
No frills, Bathurst 1,000. Yeah, exactly. We've kind of got camping. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be serious about this for a moment. And we all know that the struggles of both Melbourne, who's in lockdown again, and guys, we're so sorry about that, and New South Wales obviously tied down very heavily as well. If these situations don't come good, Stevie J, could we see, and say South Australia stays pretty good, remembering that supercars can travel in a bubble, essentially, could we see, if Bathurst is either delayed and then canned, could we see Tailem Bend host 1,000 Ks, Queensland Raceway, like the old days with the QR 500?
Oh, in my opinion, no, I don't think so. Yep. Because what I fear, and I'm not sure if you read it today, Matty, or not, but obviously the South Australian government is, I guess all the governments are fairly ruthless at the moment, but the South Australian government's particularly ruthless.
Red hot, yeah.
With regarding, obviously, interstate travel and obviously the bubble and everything else. So to have a, you know, I guess a sport like supercars head into there to do, you know, a week-long festivity with regarding, you know, racing and practice and qualifying and 1,000-kilometre race, I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, look at a couple of the planes from Tokyo that have hence landed there with Australian athletes on board.
Yep.
It was noted in the media that they're making them do double quarantine. So they're making them do 28 days of quarantine.
Oh, goodness me.
Just to give you an idea to just how strict they are in South Australia too. So the AFL teams that fly, if you're not an Adelaide-based AFL team, you actually can only be there. So you fly in, you go straight to the ground. They put you in like one of those big circus tent sort of things, keep you there until the game plays. Then you play the game. Then you're back into the tent and back on the first plane back.
Sure.
And that's with, you know, X amount of footy staff and stuff like that. And imagine that with cars, the transporters, things like that.
Yeah, oh, look, Nimsy, at heart, the only place that you could really do it, I feel, would be to be Tail and Bend, just to answer Little Mac's question, because you've got a hotel there, and then you've got right beside the track there, you've got a full caravan park that's got cabins and all that kind of stuff. So logistically, you could put it all together. Wouldn't have crowds, I get it, but you could logistically put it all together. It'd be very hard to do that anywhere else. So we're going to have to wait and see, because not only is Bathurst now being threatened with the COVID-19 situation, but there's also a pretty nasty stoush, which we'll talk about a little bit later, brewing between the Bathurst City Council, Challenge Bathurst, the Bathurst 1000.
Supercars.
Supercars, all a very bloody-minded little fight going on there at the moment, so we'll have to wait and see. And Michael, evening, guys. We did see the drama on the weekend at the MotoGP. Well done, Valentino Rossi, who's going to retire from the sport, and he's been an absolute champion all over his career. Mate, he has been, Michael, you are spot on. He is once in a generation, I reckon, an unbelievable 7-time world champion in various classes, 42 years of age, I think, Stevie J.
7 or 9?
Is it 9? I don't know. 7 or 9, either way.
I think it's 9. 42
years of age. What an unbelievable sportsman. Unbelievable athlete.
And I love all the keyboard warriors coming along saying, oh, you know, he's just been filling up the grid since whenever his last race win was, which was quite a few years ago, I admit. But in the end, are we all still speaking about him? Do we all still hold him in just as high regard? Does everybody still respect him just as much, even though he's not winning? Absolutely, because he has been phenomenal for that sport, hence the reason why his nickname's the Doctor.
You know the only thing I miss about Rossi not being up the front anymore?
The celebrations.
The celebrations, but he also doesn't get interviewed much anymore. And I just miss the, how was the race, Valentino? The bike, very good. 10 championships. Off for summer break.
maybe he's taken a leaf out of Dick Johnson's book in a way. After all these years and not wanting to get interviewed,
yeah, maybe
Dick Johnson's interview is different. Say, Dick, how you going? Yeah, good, mate. What do you want? nothing. All right, mate. So, yeah.
Unless he's on the driver's seat at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday night, where usually he's about 15 bourbons deep and chewing on a chicken parmigiana served up by Gilly.
And Gilly in the background's yelling at him.
Yeah.
She's the way. You're just going cold, Dick.
I think last time we spoke to him, he was watching Big Brother or something, wasn't he?
I think he was.
Yeah, when Dick's on the driver's seat, you could talk a leg of a chair. I'll give you that one. But yeah, keep your texts coming in, 0433 98 1116. Right now, though, we've got to do this.
Now on the driver's seat, another Bendix Brakes big moment. Put your foot down with confidence. Bendix Brakes.
Now let's talk about the new calendar, because it has been revealed for the 2021 Repco Supercars Championship. As always, everything's written in pencil. Might as well be written in crayon with the way that things are going around the country at the moment. But look, the Bathurst 1000 obviously will be held, hopefully, fingers and toes and everything crossed.
Fingers crossed.
November 4th till 7th. Now, the season will resume at the Winton Motor Raceway across October 2nd and 3rd. It'll finish with the Boost Mobile Gold Coast 500 on Surface Paradise. That's not going to be a night race, is it? That'll just be...
No, not this year. There's not enough funding to be doing a night race.
Right, fair call, that one.
It's going to be sensational, though, because it's in the wet season here on the Gold Coast at that time of year.
Oh, geez, so, yeah. That'll be interesting. This seems fairly optimistic. Like I said, I'm a very optimistic sort of bloke. So the Beau Repair Sydney Super Sprint will be the second last round across November 19th to 21st. A return to Phillip Island, October 23rd to 24th. And, of course, Bathurst, SMP, and the Gold Coast rounds will be live on the 7 Network. Dunlop Super 2 will feature at Winton, Bathurst, and the Gold Coast. So what do we think of that provisional calendar, boys?
I think it's we sort of alluded to a bit of that, I think, it feels like a few months ago now because we've been off for a little bit. But I think a couple of them are our pick, and we'd have to delve back in the archives, Nimsy, of, you know, half a dozen shows back. But we did speak about that when Winton could be. At that point, we didn't know that the MotoGP wasn't going to be coming. So that's obviously
a filler.
Weekend has been a filler for supercars, which is great. I don't know that they could have done much better than that, to be honest, and fingers crossed that we can get all that in.
There's enough of a gap, too, that let's just say you did, like, things go a bit pear-shaped in Sydney, and hopefully it trends downwards. And trust me, from a bloke that's lived in Melbourne in a fair chunk of the time looking at my house, at the four walls of my house, I know how hard it is to do a lockdown. So hopefully they can get that sorted. But I love how supercars have actually given a bit of a leeway. So if they did have to do a double header here or there, they could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're trying. They're trying. The biggest issue I see with all of this is that it's a moving feast. And unfortunately, events like this, unlike AFL, where you can pretty well, during an AFL season, it's plug and play. You got the officials, bring the teams in, put them in a hub, see you later.
Well, we just saw last week when Queensland shut down for that weekend. Like, literally, that was just, all right, turn the plane around, come back to Melbourne.
That's exactly right. And I think the Tasmania round's going to go ahead this weekend and all that kind of stuff. It's a little different with us. You know, we can't just jump on a plane. You can't put the cars in a plane. It takes a lot of planning. And the last thing that we can all do at the moment is plan. Yeah. Like, none of us can plan. You know, Steve, Jay and I were supposed to be racing in Melbourne in September. I can tell you now there is no way that is going to happen.
Oh, stop being a pessimist, Matthew.
It's called being a realist.
You and John Bauer.
It's been
seriously.
John Bauer, the legend. I'll tell you what, having my name mentioned the same as John Bowes.
And John Bowes the pessimist.
Even though we're being depressive.
John was always the pessimist and Dad was always the optimist in their relationship. So
yeah, right.
Am I the optimist here?
You can be the optimist. I'll be the realist. I don't think we're going to get to be racing in Melbourne and or New South Wales anytime soon. Could we get them up to QR? I hope, maybe. We've got, the biggest issue, and I was having
then
this...
Then they're not allowed in here from New South Wales either, so...
Well, but the only hub... Really, the only team that would need to come up here is Brad Jones Racing, and they're on the border bubble.
Correct.
So it would need still maybe special dispensation from the Queensland government to get them up here. We'd have to check that out. But I was talking to Steve Owen during the week, and he made some really good points, actually. He said that supercars have got to put a championship together, or they don't get paid. And these teams need to get paid to survive, TV money and other bits and pieces. So they're going to have to put a championship together. Now, one of the things that we've spoken about, Nimsy and Steve, from a TCM, TCR point of view, is that if, and I believe it's going to happen in the next 24, 48 hours, Sandown will be canned, our round at Sandown in mid-September. This is from a TCM, TCR, Trans Am point of view. They're talking about doing a doubleheader at Tailem Bend in mid-October. Now, the way that will work will be a Friday and a Saturday will be round one. Sunday and Monday will be round two. And we may see that at supercars again, maybe getting over to Adelaide or something like that, where you can do one round Friday, Saturday on the one circuit, and then Sunday, Monday, do another round back-to-back just to condense it to be able to get these championship races in the can to build a championship.
Now, one other thing that is in supercars' advantage is it's only Melbourne that's in the lockdown. Regional Victoria is still relatively open, and thankfully Winton could have a doubleheader. I mean, your basement down there. I think the main issue is, and David Reynolds and Andre Heimgartner spoke about this on the latest Below the Bonnet, is supercars doesn't want to put they don't want to put the Victorian teams on the road again. I think basically every Victorian team has said, no, we've already done that. Thank you.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
Of course.
So this is the thing that they can do. And no one wants to do that too. You don't want to put that, you don't want to impose the that onto the Queensland teams as well.
Yeah, I hear you, Nimsy, but how do you get the Melbourne teams to Winton? How do you get from Metro Melbourne, which is locked in lockdown, to regional? Well, I know regional's open, but how do you do it?
Well, they did the same thing last time where you go via the Cape, you completely skip New South Wales. You go via Northern Territory, come down through South Australia, and then go through all around, because Winton's up the far north of Victoria. So if you say, hypothetically speaking, came in through South Australia, go up towards like Mildura way, and then work your way left or right. My bearings are just awful, but it's going to be a hell of a journey. It'd be like bloody Moses.
But you're
delivering.
Still leaving Victoria. You're still leaving Melbourne Metro. That's what I'm saying to you, Nimsy. Is how do you leave when Melbourne's in lockdown, and you've got WAU and Tickford and all that kind of stuff? How do you? Can they get a dispensation? Do you reckon to leave Metro Melbourne to however they go around the place? I don't know whether they can. And these are rhetorical questions because we don't know the answers to them. But overarchingly, Nimsy, it's a bloody difficult thing to do with our sport. As I said, we're not AFL, we're not NRL. We're in different states. We can't just chuck the cars on a plane. This is road trip stuff. This is very, very, very complicated. So, look, I don't know how it's going to go. Tommy, our mate in Toowoomba's texted, he said, with the renewed calendar, if COVID keeps going, take them all up to Darwin, quarantine in Darwin, then do a doubleheader in Hidden Valley, go across to Perth, do a night race in Perth, and then a 1,000K race at Tailem Bend, and then a second race at Tailem Bend to finish off the season. So you're right, Tommy, it's not going to happen. But could you imagine the uproar from the traditionalists? And you know what? I get it, Tommy. That's a great idea. There's no hope we're going to Perth. If there's any state that loves a lockdown or loves to cut off half of Australia, it's Western Australia. There is an iron curtain right now between the East and the West. So that ain't going to happen. So I genuinely, boys, I'll have to be the John Bauer of this duo, Stevie J. I just can't see how we're going to get it done. I can't wait to be surprised. I'm sure we will get it done.
Well, we have to get it done.
We have to get it done. But there are smarter people than I that are going to be working on it because when you ask the question, it purely and simply breeds more questions than answers. Because you go, well, let's do this. Well, how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we do this? And there's no answers there. Which is why we're still not racing. If we could be racing, we'd be racing. Would you agree?
Oh, 100%. But, you know, are you talking about supercars? Are you talking about us? Are you talking about ARG?
I'm talking about any racing.
Yeah, well, the only option is for the only solely professional category, which is supercars, to be able to make it happen and get it done. Any other categories, it's going to be extremely difficult because we're not wholly and solely professional based. We are made up of professionals, gentlemen drivers, career people that have got their own businesses. They can't just leave all that to go and do a fun race that they try to do through the year. So that's the difference between supercars and every other category in the country.
Hey, Nimsy, Michael's text in. He said, me and Stevie J, we can have a hub at your place. We'll just quarantine at your place, Nimsy. What do you reckon?
Near the train line and very close to Sandown, so...
Well, hey.
Does make
there
sense.
Well, one of the best tracks in the country.
Yeah. Exactly. But, hey, look, we'd love to know what you think. Send us in a text, 0433 98 11 16. That was our Bendix Brakes big moment. Put your foot down with confidence. Bendix Brakes, Australian technology for all weather confident braking. Sean Seamer and the blokes making these supercars calendar right now might have a bit of this happening right now.
Why me?
I honestly thought you were going to put the no cash up then.
But here's the driver's seat. We'll go. Plenty to get through here on the program. We do it thanks to Kubota. Together, we are shaping and building Australia.
This is the driver's seat with Matt McKeldin and Stephen Johnson. Thanks to Kubota. Together, we are shaping and building Australia.
Welcome back to the driver's seat. We do it thanks to Kubota. Together, we are shaping and building Australia. They've been doing it for over 40 years. Just a quick little text here from Wilco in, is it Maroon, Queensland? Or is that
Maroon?
Oh, there you go.
G'day, Wilco.
Wilco says, g'day, guys. First time listening live. I'm normally a podcast listener. Wish I could say this is the first time text. I wish I could say this is the first time I text in. Great show. Thanks for joining us, Wilco.
Wicked.
Legend.
Thanks, Wilco.
Welcome, Wilco.
Thank you for plugging in the earballs and having a listen live. Really appreciate that.
Now, because it has been a while since we've done this, let's get a quick update off the power rankings.
This is the driver's seat power rankings.
Now, very clearly in the supercars rankings, it is SVG on top, 23 votes. Basically, it's our Dally M slash Brownlow medal. Matt and Steve give a 3-2-1 vote. But yeah, SVG sits on top of the supercars rankings with 23 votes. Will Davo second in 13 votes, 9 votes for Anton De Pasquale, 8 votes for Chaz Mostert, 6 votes to Cameron Waters, Tim Slade, Zane Goddard, 4 votes to Brody Kostecki, 3 votes to Mark Winterbottom, 1 vote to Jamie Wincup, Andre Heimgardner, Scotty Pye, Jake Kostecki, Jack Smith, and Thomas Randall. And in the TCR Australia ranking, 6 votes to Chazzy Mozzie and Josh Buchan, 3 votes to Jordan Cox, 2 votes to Michael Caruso, and 1 vote to James Moffin. James Moffin, Jesus Christ.
James Moffin.
Yeah. Sounds delicious, doesn't he?
I love James Moffin. Chop Chip Moffin. Crazy Frog.
James Moffat and Dylan O'Keefe with 1 vote there. Here's a fun one for you. Like, look at the towards the top end of the supercars votes. It's basically a DJR 1-2 chomping at the bit, getting towards SVG. Will Davo's got to be due for a win soon.
Yeah, he's close.
Hey? He is so close.
He was so close.
Yeah, he'll get there. I think he'll get there.
I just think he needs a bit more mongrel in him in the race.
Do you?
Just a little bit. Yeah,
I think he's a bit more rubbing,
a bit more elbows out when someone's behind him. I mean, I get there's a time and a place where you need to get the elbows out and hold them, or you're flogging a dead horse. You may as well just not
sit and stay.
You know, if you do that, you're possibly going to lose more spots. You know, yeah. I get it. You know, I've been there and done it, but I just love to see him just fight a bit harder. Maybe the time hasn't come yet for that to happen. So, and I'm just looking at the list there, Nimsy, when you were calling it out, that I think one bloke we're probably being a bit harsh on for the year, he's P2 in the championship, it's Jamie Wincup.
Yes.
He's sitting down there with Andre Heimgartner, Scotty Pye, Jake Kostecki, Jack Smith, and Tommy Randall, who's done and he's second in the championship. I think maybe I might give Jamie 3 points next time they race, just to get him up the leaderboard a little bit.
I reckon, though, it's to show how highly we regard J-Dub, because we're not just like, he finished P3. Come on, Jamie, lift your game.
Yeah,
Don't forget, lads, that we apply points to not necessarily 1, 2, and 3 in the weekend. We apply points to
effort.
People who have had standout events, standout qualifying, held people off. Like that's why Jake Kostecki's got some love. That's why Brody's had some love. Zane Goddard,
Scotty Pine,
he's on 6 points.
Well, Jack Smith had that cracking weekend at Simmons Plains.
Yeah, totally. So you know, it's not just about, you know, the performance on the weekend. Yeah, I tell you what, Nimsy, I can't wait to go racing again with TCR, because, you know, it's been a long time and I want to see that battle rage again between Luke King and Chazzy Mozzie, and I want to see Joshy Buchan come good again, see if Jordan Cox can rebuild his championship after a troubled start. You know, Michael Caruso, such a talent, such a personality. I want to see him go well again. So I want all these guys to come back, because I just think, you know, particularly with TCR, we are right in a critical point for that championship. It was building beautifully.
It always seems when they get some momentum, old mate Rona decides, not today, guys.
Whack. Yeah, not happening.
Yep. Quickly, Tommy and Toowoomba, did you see James Moffat's new TO2 car? Now, that's one good-looking car.
It is a good-looking rig.
It was actually meant to debut up here at Morgan Park, which obviously didn't get past the old world environmental dramas at the moment.
I might try and see if I can put a photo of that on our Facebook.
Yeah, it is very cool. His dad's
Camaro.
Yeah, but what year?
His dad's Mustang. Coca-Cola Mustang.
Was it 69 or 68? I'm bad with those sort of numbers. That's way before my time.
I'm
mid-70s, bro.
You're 73, aren't you? Or 74? You're mid-70s.
That's mid-70s. Nimsy is 74, mid-70s. 74, 5, and 6 is mid.
Yeah, no.
1, 2, and 3 is early.
Oh, I'm early.
1, 2, 3 is early because I've unfortunately had to put in the census late 30s for me. or very, very, very early 40s. But that is the driver's seat. We'll take a quick break. Back with more right after this. Welcome back to the driver's seat. We do it thanks to Kubota. Together we're shaping and building Australia. Pete and Cranburn's texted in. Hello, guys. Great to have you back. Curious to know, what future models would you like to see racing in TCM? Marcus. Jeez, I'm going to struggle with that one.
Marcus Sakanovic.
Thank you. He's upcoming.
Is that Marcus Sakanovic, is it?
No. No. It's not.
Now, his upcoming Fox Body Mustang looks like it'll be sweet, says Pete from Cranbourne.
Oh, look, Pete, I agree. I love a Fox Body Mustang, so I can't wait to see. And Marcus is a great guy. The Zukanovics are a big racing family.
Have been for a lot of years.
Long time. Hmm. So old Mick used to race against Marcus and Mick in the V8 Ute days.
Did you?
Yes.
But thanks for texting in, Pete. It is great to be back, and thanks for jumping on board with us. Right now, though, let's get straight to our race rewind.
This is the Driver's Seat Race Rewind.
We do it thanks to Gates Australia. Don't compromise. Choose Gates Premium Belts, Hose and Hydraulics. Talking about Barbagallo, which misses out on yet another round. It's 2019, I think, the last time we went there for the Perth Super Night. I thought I'd go back to one of the most infamous races ever at
Barbagallo. I thought you were going to say barbecue.
Of course you were.
It was like Homer Simpson.
I was reading the line and I'm thinking that, that one. Yeah. And then as you were saying Barbagallo, for whatever reason, I thought you were going to say barbecue.
Well, there's probably a good reason for that. Let's consult the footage.
Wright gets a good initial bite. Alex Davison makes a stormer. Slots to the inside. That's massive. Oh, the slot's on the grid. He was stalled on the grid and has been hit from behind.
Carl's moving, trying
to get out of this car quickly. He's out of the car. That's good to see, because that has taken a massive hit from behind. The race is red flagged.
Now, I noticed in the footage, too, that there was a number 17 Jim Beam Falcon that very quickly got out of there.
Yes. It was weird because, obviously, when Stevie Owen come through, but was blindsided by cars in front, Carl Reinl was sitting there in his Commodore stationary. And I think he qualified quite well. So he was sort of a fair way up middle part of the pack. And by the time I've got the race started, got through turn one in Perth, if you haven't seen it, in Barbagallo, it sort of comes back on itself.
Yeah.
So as you're climbing back up the hill before you turn left and sort of disappear over the top, you can see all that last corner front straight where you start the starting grid. And I literally saw this huge fireball.
Yep.
Still going on the straight, and I'm thinking, well, that's not good. This is going to be stopped, and obviously we heard from the footage it was. So thank God that both of those guys got out relatively unscathed. Carl had a few little marks, I think, burn marks.
He had serious burns.
Yeah, on his hands.
Yeah.
Stevie Owen was very, very lucky. He hit him at 100. I've seen the footage. It was like 140. Kilometers an hour.
It's a stationary hit.
Yep.
Yeah, it was big. And that was in many ways what kicked off the car of the future, with the fuel tank being moved forward in Gen 2.
The fuel tank being moved closer to the driver.
closer to the driver, but I hear what you say, but away from that rear collision, because that was what was rupturing fuel cells, is it being in the rear of the car. So they moved it more inboard to save it from being whacked in the back.
It's actually fully under the car now, whereas that one there was sort of semi. It was in the boot.
Yeah.
Then you've got a little firewall, little tin, literally tin.
Did nothing
piece.
That day.
it's not going to do anything when you get hit at 140 k's an hour.
I mean, Nimsy, I can't tell you how ferocious that fire was. I mean, Steve was up the road and halfway around the corner. You weren't there. I was in a truck probably about 50 to 60 meters away, just in the back of a transporter. And we were watching it on television inside the transporter. And the actual bang shook the windows and almost popped the windows in the transporter.
You'd be able to feel the heat, wouldn't you?
We couldn't feel the heat, but it was, you could hear it. And that's not an easy thing to hear when you've got, 24 supercars roaring down the straight. So it was a monster hit. And I've done a lot of driver training with Carl. He's a great mate of mine. Love him dearly. It took a long time for him to come good with that, because that was a monster burn. He got fuel inside the gloves and he got the heat inside the what burnt his hands was the heat on the outside of the glove. There was so much heat that the sweat and the moisture condensed basically and steamed inside his glove. So he was trying to get the gloves off because there was sweat and heat and all that kind of stuff, and it just burnt his hands to an absolute cinder. Still has the scars to this day. And a nicer bloke you'll never meet. Carlos is just a ripping guy, a great family man. Love him dearly. And we were very lucky that day as a sport and as a category, as an industry, we were very, very, very lucky that day.
Yeah, I think that basically, you just heard it there in that little grab. I mean, that just sounded awful, and the footage is even worse. But look, that was our race rewind.
That was the V8 Sleuth commentating too.
It was Aaron Noonan.
Yes, Aaron Noonan. Good friend of the driver's seat show.
He certainly is. He's given us a couple of shout-outs in the past too, as well. So thanks for that, Noons. Make sure you do head to the V8 Sleuth Bookshop. A great way to get a gift for Father's Day.
And the podcast. Have a listen.
Yeah, good podcast there too. But look, that was our race rewind. We do it thanks to Gates Australia. Don't compromise. Choose Gates Premium Belts with complete system replacement with Gates Belts and Hoses. Visit gatesaustralia.com.au. We'll take a quick pause for the course because there was some Formula One that was happened a couple of weeks back. We'll touch on that just a moment right here on the driver's seat.
This is the driver's seat with Matt McKeldin and Stephen Johnson. Thanks to Kubota. Together, we are shaping and building Australia.
Welcome back to the driver's seat. We do it thanks to Kubota. For over 40 years, we've been making tomorrow matter, shaping and building Australia together. A couple of weeks back, it was the 2021 Hungarian Grand Prix. It was an interesting turn of events. See what I did there?
Turn of events.
I'll see myself out.
He's here all week, folks.
There we go.
There it is.
What a race. Have you ever seen a start to a race like that before, Stevie J?
Never.
I mean, we've seen cars go out onto the circuit, onto the grid with, say, dry tyres and have to quickly change to wets or intermediates or any of that sort of stuff, and then they start off and then they come in five laps later and change or something like that. But have you ever seen the whole field go out and then peel into pit lane except for one guy? I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
Well, Lewis Hamilton is a big advocate of we races one, so he at least was holding his up his end of the bargain.
Very literally. And I did
exactly.
See what he did. Yeah, that's right.
I did, and if you were following my socials or my Facebook, I did put up a photo of that, and the photo was only showing that actually I think the first or the second red light was on, Matty. That's how close it was to the race start.
Yeah.
And my caption was, never ever thought I would see the start of a Formula One race with only two cars on the grid, one of them being the safety car. 50% of the field are world champions.
Correct. And I mean, if you remember, of course, I think it was back to Daytona. Was it Daytona, the Indy? Indianapolis Road Course. I think they started with six.
Yeah, that was a tire issue. Or not,
but we've never started a world championship race.
That was when they had the
one car.
Yeah, that was when they had the tire war. It was like Pirelli, and it was Michelin. Yes. Michelin Pirelli.
Yep,
I saw it.
And sorry,
no, you go on. Go on, Steve.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it was those two. And then one of them, and I'm thinking it might have been Michelin, were having tire issues big time, like literally flying apart through the fastest corner on the track and very dangerous. So the Michelin runners said, no, this is too dangerous, we can't. And the Pirelli runners said, we're fine, we're going.
That's right. But this Hungarian Grand Prix, Nimzy, of course, it's the race before the summer break for all the Formula One drivers and teams. And you always want to make a big impression at that race because a lot of the talk during the summer break is about who's going to drive where and who's going to sign where and, you know, what you've done and all that kind of stuff. So really important to make a good impression at that race. And there was definitely some standout performances. I mean, Esteban Ocon, what a sensation. Yes, it's a hard circuit to pass. I get that, but never put a wheel wrong. He drove that car beautifully to come home for his maiden
victory.
Vettel
was right there, ready to take
all over him. Absolutely all over him. So did really well.
Yep.
The drama of the race, of course, Vettel at the end there, ran out of fuel. He made the podium, P2 for Aston Martin. Ran out of fuel, couldn't get a fuel sample enough in the car, so he got disqualified.
Yeah, I think that's still subjective too. I don't know if it's fully done yet.
Yeah, it's thrown out. They tried to appeal it. It's been thrown out. So it's done, mate. You've got to have enough fuel to take a sample. So that was unbelievable. I tell you what I did like. I loved Williams. Because in all of this strategy and all of the hullabaloo at the start there, Latifi, who's been the nowhere man, let's be real, he's been getting towed up by his teammate George Russell for the last 18 months. He's in third position for 27 laps. Unbelievable. How good. No mistakes. They're on pace. Just did a sensational job. And if you think it right at the end of the race there, both he and George Russell got points for Williams. I mean, unbelievable.
George Russell's been chasing Well, they've both been chasing that first point for Williams for a long, years and years, and for them to finally get it. And those points that they got, mate, it wasn't just one point. Like, it was...
Serious? 6 or 7 or something?
6 or 7 points. Yeah. That, next year, will be worth...
Millions.
Millions and millions of dollars for them.
Euros.
For their...
Yeah.
For their, I guess, what do you call it, man? It's not a reward. It's a team's...
Their TV money.
The TV money and stuff like that through Formula One is where they'll get that massive benefit from. So great. Good on them. And I do have to pay homage to Fernando Alonso.
Brilliant.
We all know he's a tough nut. We all know he can drive. He's won that many. He's won a few world titles. But for him to drive the way he did and hold Lewis Hamilton back, wheel to wheel, banging wheels, Lewis is off the Richter scale.
Yep.
Getting cranky because he won't let him pass and he's faster and this and that and he's driving in the middle of the road. If Alonso didn't drive like that and hold Lewis up for those 7, 8, 9, 10 laps, whatever it was, Lewis would have won that race.
Correct. That was a real team effort. And he was genuinely pleased for Esteban in pit lane at the podium ceremony, waited for him to get the helmet off, big hugs, all that sort of stuff. So really enjoyed that. Of course,
none of us like getting beaten by a teammate.
Of course not.
None of us like watching our teammate win races when you shouldn't win races.
No, no.
So,
can I tell you,
was Alonso like that when the cameras weren't around?
Well,
I don't know.
Can I tell you what, when there's no cameras around, what's going on in my house at the moment? George Russell. Mate. The three Mack women they're off Charles Leclerc. They are all over George Russell.
So Mrs. Mack,
yep.
Charlie was her little boy, her favorite.
Yep. Gone.
What? Dropped him.
Gone. Like a rock.
Dropped like a sec, like a deck of spuds.
Absolutely.
Oh, he's dead to me, bro.
He's absolutely. It is all George Russell.
Mrs. Mack just like change like that?
I tell you what, go onto George Russell's socials and have a look at him in Greece with his shirt off at the moment. It's a very easy. You'll see why she's turned to George.
Is that why she's hanging with you?
Yeah.
Well, that's because
of the abs.
That's something I won't be putting on the driver's seat socials.
There's no six pack here, mate. It's a slab of beer. Let me give you the strong tip.
Well, that was at some point in time, I think, our F1 wrap-up. But we'll take a quick break. Back with more of the driver's seat up next.
This is the driver's seat with Matt McKeldin and Stephen Johnson. Thanks to Kubota. Together, we are shaping and building Australia.
We are back with a vengeance here on the driver's seat. Thanks to Kubota. For over 40 years, we've been making tomorrow matter, shaping and building Australia together. Something else that has been back, fellas, since the last time we were in the studio. That GM Gen 3 engine in the TA2 car for 888, it got another run at QR yesterday. Now, Craig Lowndes did the majority of the laps this time round. Last time it was Jamie Wincup and SVG.
Oh, mate, I was on the hot lap.
You certainly were. And a fair bit of testing going into this thing. And Roland, RD, was very coy when he spoke to the media about it. He was just like, oh, can you tell us about the engine? He's like, it goes around and does what we want it to do. That was literally what
that doesn't sound like RD, does it? Jeez Louise. You know what I find ironic about it? That the Gen 3 engine is being tested in a TA2 chassis, which, if you listen to all the fans out there of supercars, arguably should actually be the next Gen 3 car. But supercars hate TA2 and Trans Am. Too much, too close to the bone, too scary, they're too good. They're too cheap, all that kind of stuff. And yet, but we'll use one to go and test a Chev engine in.
Yeah.
Good on you.
It's crazy, isn't it? And
mental.
The funny thing is there's some fairly high stipulations on the engine rules coming out for Gen 3 that you're going to have. There's a maximum horsepower rule. There's a maximum torque rule.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that, you know, we'll go into later when we know more of the actual facts. I know they only want 600 horsepower tops. I'm not sure of the figure of the torque rating and through the rev range. It's obviously fly-by-wire throttle, so they're going to be able to easily, pull the purse strings a bit back on someone, pull the reins back a little bit if one's a bit too fast. I know for a fact that the Ford engine, the Coyote engine, has got the maximum power that they're allowed with the maximum torque, they're allowed at a very minuscule full throttle opening, which is not 100%. So they're going to be able to, doesn't matter what sort, they're going to do with these engines, but You know, it's going to make it very, very interesting when they do come out to the, you know, into the public and show us exactly what they're going to be like.
Looked good, sounded good, should be good.
Yep.
Fingers crossed it should be good. Do you reckon, so obviously Triple Eight are getting around the, because you can't test it in a supercar, you have to sort of, hence why they made the Sandman. DJR has been very, very quiet when it comes to what they're doing with the Coyote engine. Do you reckon that's that we'll be seeing maybe a couple of, I don't know, test shots or stuff like that of them giving an engine a run sometime soon?
Well, I think because DJR or MozTech Race Engines, actually, who do the DJR engines, they've had a Coyote engine for a lot longer than the Holden teams have had the Chev for. So,
yeah.
They've built them before. They've run them before in other categories and cars.
Well known
Mark
engine.
Cars, you know.
Well known engine.
Mm-hmm. So I think you'll see a DJR Gen 3 car possibly on track before the end of the year.
Okay.
So if that's the case, it'll be all under Supercars supervision and Adrian Burgess and the technical team there. But why wouldn't you do all of your testing in a proper car if you possibly could. So I think that's what their plan is going to be. Honestly, I can sit here and tell you, Matty, straight up that I haven't been into DJR for many, many weeks. I don't know. I haven't heard anything from them, but that's what I'm sort of inkling at, and I think that's what's possibly going to happen with them. They're obviously sharing with the other Ford teams in Tickford and so forth as well.
I could just see the keyboards typing at Fast Deli right now. Johnson confirms Gen 3 testing.
Yeah.
You wait. It'll be
just my opinion. Just my opinion.
Yeah, got to get that out there because you know that someone's typing away and that's going to be on the Twitter feed. You're going to be getting texts. But anyway, we'll take a quick break. We're back with more of the driver's seat in just a moment.
This is the driver's seat with Matt McKeldin and Stephen Johnson. Thanks to Kubota. Together, we are shaping and building Australia.
Welcome back to the driver's seat. Still a bit of time left in the program. Thanks for joining us. It's always great to have your company. And remember, you can rev up your smartphone with the driver's seat app. It's available in the App Store. And as always, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Driver's Seat Show. The all-new app's got podcasts, interviews, news, and videos. It is a must for all motorsport fans. Some good news came out in the past, past 12 hours. Tommy Randall back on the grid again at Phillip Island. Him and Kurt Gusecki will make their third and final wildcard appearances of the 2021 season. Obviously, they were meant to go to Perth, but that ain't happening anytime soon. So it'll be nice to see him back on track.
Oh, yeah, I think it's great, and I think it gives their teams who they've partnered with from an endurance point of view a good opportunity to get their guys blooded in and get some more race time with the big boys. So, Tommy's getting ready for next year. We know he's coming into a full-time drive. Some rumours around also that Kurt might be getting a bit of a kick in with Matt Stone Racing next year. So we'll have to wait and see about that. But yeah, no, I think it's a good thing. And anytime we get more cars on the grid, Stevie J, than our normal 24 or whatever it is, I think it's a good thing.
Oh, 100%. And we've seen that in the past. And Tommy did, you know, both of them actually went well up and down, but Tommy did a ripper job. So, he's going to be an awesome addition to the actual series next year, full time. And, you know, I'm just really keen to see some more new blood in supercars and get some of these guys that really deserve their chance.
This is actually one of the things that I think I'm relatively qualified to talk about, because the last time Tommy Randall was in a supercar at Phillip Island, he was taking me on a hot lap.
There you go.
He was. I think, and I don't think I'll ever forget the vision of you.
Yes.
All smiles until you go down at a Honda hairpin. And the big break, and then the smile got wiped off real quick.
Real quick.
I tell you, we were touching cloth there. That's what it was like.
Tavern cloth, that's very
but the best part about that was, I love, if you watch that footage, and we'll pop it up on our Facebook page, Tommy even shared it on his page too, but just the thumbs up from Tommy, like, you're good, like, yep, I'm fine.
Very funny.
That's
very,
so
very funny.
But very, very cool, and can't wait to see what Tommy does full-time on the grid. And same too with Kurt Gusecki as well. Another quick one too that popped up in the past 24 hours or so, Red Bull is going to continue with Triple Eight. They have committed a further 2 years as co-naming rights partner of Triple Eight Race Engineering. Now, between 2013 and 2021, have a look at this run of form. They've got 4 drivers' championships, 5 teams' championships, 113 race wins. That includes Bathurst 2015 and Bathurst 2020. So not a bad partnership there.
Not bad. not bad. Yep. And since 2013, so they've done a great job, and we need them in the championship. I think they give good contrast to Monster Energy. They're a global brand. I think they bring a lot of credibility to our series. And they're with the best team, arguably, up and down pit lane. And I think even if you look at what they've achieved here in Australia, if you put them up against some of the global entities that Red Bull sponsor, Triple Eight stacks right up there as one of the most successful. So they deserve, Triple Eight deserve a re-signing from Red Bull, and I'm glad they're here because they're great for our championship.
Especially in these times too.
Agreed.
You know, I don't care who you are, apart from maybe Bunnings, you would have struggled, honestly. You would have struggled in this time. There would have been a time where a lot of these massive, massive global companies initially, especially in 2020, would have been going, oh my God, what's going on here? As we all did, you know.
Well, just look at Milwaukee level. Tools.
With, 100%.
With Will.
And they're global, you know, and bang, they really struggled. So for them to be able to come on, re-sign for another couple of years, that's a big deal.
Yep.
You know, so agreed. Kudos to them.
On the topic of just things that are coming up in the calendar year. Now, you touched on this briefly beforehand, Stevie, but a question without notice here. Challenge Bathurst has lodged a little complaint saying that essentially they've got a 2-week grace period between Challenge Bathurst, which means by contract, the Bathurst 1000 can't go ahead of the regular plan. Now, we've got about 2 minutes left in the show, guys. Quick thoughts.
It's boy. Hard. 2 minutes?
Matty's only got it in soapbox.
Don't wind me up because I just, it's once again bloody-minded politics and it's crap. And the person
Why
who now,
couldn't you have no, a race well, the you, weekend before
course you can.
Challenge Bathurst?
Of course you can.
Like I'm going to Challenge Bathurst with Jet to take him for his first ever drive around Bathurst.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you?
Of course you
like
can.
You don't
There's
need
no reason you
5 days of setup for 2 practice days.
I was offline with Peter Addison the other day just having a chat about this, and if you knew the person who manages Challenge Bathurst, this will be absolutely no surprise.
Peter Addison actually providing a lot of like, hey, look, I understand you've got a contract and all that. Well, here's what I'm willing to do to help out. And literally, like we talk and go back and listen to the interview that we did with him. This is a bloke that puts his money where his mouth is. But there's frustration you could see from people.
Oh, like, yeah. Mate, I mean, we're in a hard, tough situation. This is where everybody needs to work together to be able to get our sport to move forward. There is a contractual issue between the council and Challenge Bathurst and the date applied for by Supercars. Can we not just have some sanity? Why do we have to let legal and contractual rules and stuff like that rule and overrule what we all need to do, which is band together and actually get our sport moving for the sake of our fans and our corporate partners? I mean, it's just, once again, I know I get on the soapbox, but it's crap. I just hate the politics of this bloody sport sometimes. Challenge Bathurst, you'll get your competitors. Don't worry about it. Bathurst, can we just have the Bathurst 1000, please? Bathurst International, can we get that done too? Because we haven't had any racing for the last couple of months.
Yeah.
You'll get your competitors. Just get your head out of your backsides and get the thing moving. Thank you.
There you go.
Written, spoken, and authorised by Matt McKeldin for the Driver's Seat Program.
God, nothing is working today. Oh, God almighty.
Thank you very much for that puts a nice little bow on this week's edition of The Driver's Seat.
Hey, Nimsy, before you go, mate, I've got to say a bit of a shout-out to a friend of ours in New Zealand who's been listening, Michael Burson. Good on you, Michael. Thanks for the feedback. Hope you enjoy the show, and hopefully we'll be talking to you again at some other stage.
Indeedy. But this has been The Driver's Seat. We'll see you next week.